Episode of Shaved and Tapered Podcast. So this is season one, episode one. I figure we should start this out on the right foot, and to start that on the right foot, introductions need to be in order so that y'all know who we are. I'm Jordan, aka W, aka JW, aka the Oxford comma, aka the bottom feeder, and I will be your host. I am joined by Jeremy, aka the one, the only, the Shaboy. We are very excited to start this off and bring you a fun spin of what swimming is, from high school to USA swimming, college and ISL to the Olympics, and everything in between. Thank you for tuning in, and we are so excited that you are a part of this journey, and we're excited that you're listening to this right now.
Yeah, man. I'm excited that you guys are all here for the ride. I mean, let's just get ready to dive right into this.
All right, well, without further ado, guys, let's boogie. So I figure the best part about this being our first episode is we get to talk a little bit about who we are and what we're doing. And so to do that, I figure we should introduce ourselves. My name's Jordan. Jeremy and I have swam together for what? Forever now, basically, except for college.
Yeah, probably about a good part of 12 years.
12 years at least. I'd say more, because I don't really even know how long I've been swimming.
I mean, we've known each other since preschool.
For sure. So yeah, we both swam for the same USA club team, and then we swam against each other in high school, even though we continued to swim for the same club team until our junior and senior year of high school, when I switched to a different club, and we stayed in decent contact throughout college, but we recently reconnected and gotten really close again. It's really nice, and to help our friendship and something to share our interests as we are starting to in a competitive manner, we decided to start this podcast. So Jeremy, what's going on in your life right now?
I mean, I'm just trying to graduate college right now. I'm a fifth year undergrad student, just trying to finish strong. I work for the college team that I go to. I'm one of the managers, and basically what I do in the world of swimming as of right now, I basically work with the collegiate athletes. We work on, I make sure that their meals are ready. I make sure that I get everything to them that they need, their gear I'm in charge of. I also worked with the coaches, see if they need any help with anything. I love the coaches here. The coaches here are amazing. And just being a part of a college team again after what happened with me. So to give you guys a little insight, I tore my shoulder my senior year of high school. I tore my left rotator cuff on the backside of my shoulder, and basically never was the same swimmer ever again. Went to college, swam my freshman year in college, didn't really put up the same times that I did when I was in high school, decided to call it quits, and now I'm working for the team, and I love the coaches. It's fantastic. I have a blast doing it. The athletes are amazing. It's a great time to be around people.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so Jordan, what's going on with you, man? Like, I feel like I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah, we've been talking nonstop about having to get this off the ground, but we haven't really talked about what's been going on in our lives. I also am trying to finish college. This is, I think, my third college I've been to. I have one class and an internship left. I should be graduating in the spring if everything goes right, which I pray that it does. And I also started working basically full time for the USA club team that I transferred to my junior and senior year of high school and swam at during my redshirt year. So I'm really getting used to getting back in the flow of having to go to the really early morning high school practices, because college definitely spoiled me with getting to sleep in until 6 every morning, whereas this is kind of biting me. I'm doing that. I'm running dry lands 3 days a week for everybody from like 8 and unders all the way up to the high school kids. So that's a really fun and exciting like learning process. I'm learning a lot more about
that. That must be a lot.
It's a lot on my plate, but this is the happiest I've been in a really long time. So I'm very happy to be a part of this. It's a really cool learning experience too, because I get to learn all the minutiae of the sport from teaching little kids what direction right and left is, all the way up to the really fine-tuned stroke mechanics that senior group kids are doing. So doing that, and I'm taking classes, and I'm doing this with you. So I think, in my opinion, everything's going really well. Very happy about that.
Well, that's awesome to hear, man. I'm glad you're doing okay. We got to finish out strong with college. It's our last semester, both looking to graduate.
Yeah, against all odds. Against all odds, we will be graduating from college. Who'd have thunk?
I know. All, proving it to all the haters that we can do it.
Yeah, the haters. I'm not sure if haters is necessarily the right term. It's just people who were, I'd say skeptics. I'd say skeptics as opposed to haters.
I mean, well, on the topic of haters, man, did you hear about the recent tragedy that happened in our country with Kobe Bryant?
Kobe Bryant, yes, that is a tragedy. And while I am sad for the passing of Kobe, I think it's more of a tragedy to his daughter and her teammate that lost their lives on the flight, because it was more than just Kobe and Gianna on the flight. And a lot of people lost their lives, and that's a heartbreaking thing, because Kobe was only, what, 41 years old? So he was definitely about to be starting his second act, so to speak. And I think anybody, even blind people, could see that Gianna was going to destroy the sport of basketball.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, when I first heard the news, I was in the school library, and I'm with my roommate, and we're doing homework. And he shows me this thing on Instagram from TMZ that Kobe Bryant just died in a helicopter accident. And at the time, we didn't know about anything about Gianna or the other victims that were affected. But it just came to a shock to me. We didn't believe it at first.
Honestly, we're just sitting there. I didn't either. Because I got the notification on my Apple Watch on Sunday. I had just left the morning session of a swim meet, and I was heading to do some private swim lessons, and the notification popped up on my phone as I was walking out, and it said Kobe Bryant dies in plane crash. And I was like, helicopter crash. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I saw it was from TMZ, which they're not exactly the most reputable journalist. So I was like, yeah. Oh, this would be terrible if this is a joke. And then I heard later that they had broke the news before the sheriff's department had told Kobe's wife. So that's awful.
Yeah, no, I mean, all my thoughts and prayers go out to Vanessa, the whole Bryant family, and of course to all the families of all the other victims as well. I don't know any of the victims' names off the top of my head, but I do know that, like, it wasn't just Kobe's life that was affected. It was all the people around him, the whole NBA, all the other victims, all their families were affected, everything that they were a part of. And the worst part is that Kobe's made that, they've made that flight in that helicopter numerous times before, and it just happened. And I watched the Lakers game last night crying, and I was crying in tears watching the intro to the halftime show to the ending. Like, it was just all very emotional for me.
Yeah. Oh, incredibly emotional. I didn't get to watch it last night because I had to head to bed a little earlier because I had morning practice, but I did watch some clips from it this morning while I was eating breakfast, and I saw the new patches that are on the uniforms, which I hope that they adopt something in recognition of everything that Kobe's done for the sport and for the league. I saw a bunch of mock-ups about them potentially changing the logo for the NBA, which I think if anybody did deserve to be memorialized like for eternity in basketball, it would be Kobe. And the mock-ups do look pretty awesome too.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's a great honor that the great Jerry West, who the current NBA logo is based off of, he said, like, absolutely, like, I'm all for it, switching to Kobe and to honor him and honor what he's done for the NBA and everything. And the thing is like, so many people look up to him, like, that are in the league right now currently. And even in a sport where it can be anything, like, if it happened in football to, let's say, Tom Brady, I don't wish that upon him or anything, but it would be a great travesty. And Tom Brady's changed the league and done so many great things. It's just a big event that has happened.
And I believe that profoundly so, Kobe has changed the sport of basketball and the NBA more. And his work ethic and determination has gone across borders. And I can't think of a single sport that hasn't used a Kobe Bryant quote at some point talking about hard work and dedication. And his dedication was really what helped me get through some of the harder training cycles, because reading about what he does every morning, it's like, man, he's above and beyond, and he's a top tier human being.
Yeah. No, I mean, it even goes back to when you're in grade school and you're just playing trash basketball and your teacher's yelling at you to stop throwing it.
Kobe.
Everyone nowadays is yelling Curry. No, everyone needs to start saying Kobe again. Like, I know I said Kobe when I was going through grade school. I don't know if you did, but I mean, it's just the effect that he had on so many people, and just always got to shoot that trash ball. And now, instead of saying Kobe, we're going to say for Kobe when we shoot the ball. That's what I've been doing this week in class, honestly.
I think that's right. And you should be ashamed if you miss the trash basketball after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, even in the sport of swimming, like, there are those great icons that, like, we look up to as athletes. And, like, for me personally, that, I mean, everyone, I feel like, is going to say Kobe Bryant, or not Kobe Bryant, everyone's going to say Michael Phelps soon, to, like, a certain degree. But for me, it was Ian Crocker, because Ian Crocker, great butterflyer, pushed Michael Phelps, former world record holder Ian Crocker. He pushed Michael Phelps, and I've met Ian Crocker personally, and it was amazing meeting him. I feel like, in my opinion, Michael Phelps wouldn't have been who he was without Ian Crocker to push him there to help Phelps get that world record.
Oh, for sure. And I have plenty of heroes within swimming, both serious and kind of satirically so. But I think Kobe's impact on hard work transcends basketball and extends to other sports, because just the fact of the matter is that swimming has never been as publicized as basketball. And I remember the first big, like, expose that Michael Phelps got that I saw was just seeing how much he eats every day, which that's not exactly the same type of expose as Kobe's dedication.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I remember reading that same expose about Michael Phelps eating absurd amounts of food.
24,000 calories a day or something.
Yeah, something like that. And they put out a, like, there's like a YouTube clip, I think, about it, about, like, him going to
very Last Supper-esque.
Yeah, it's just so much food that he consumes, and I just don't know how he does it, man.
No, like, it hurts my stomach just thinking about it.
Yeah, same. Like, I don't understand. And, like, to me, like, I personally want to know if Michael Phelps drinks chocolate milk, like, after his recoveries and stuff like that, because chocolate milk, to me, one, it, in my opinion, it's the best recovery drink to drink. And, like, it's one of my favorite drinks just in general. Like, it just, it's fantastic.
Oh yeah. If I have to point out one of my favorite pastimes, number one, of course, would be vanilla Coke, but number two, which probably supersedes it because it's hard to keep vanilla Coke in stock at my house, is a nice glass of chocolate milk. And beyond that, I remember probably when we were in middle school, it really came out that chocolate milk is like the god tier recovery beverage. And it's like, there's no way. This is just like sugary, a sugary snack. But
all right, man. So what's your vision looking forward and doing this podcast in the future?
So I know a big part of establishing anything is you need to establish your brand, which I understand, which means we're going to have to put in a lot of work, a lot of hard work and a lot of time, which I think we've already been doing with the Instagram and the Facebook. So eventually we'll have a little bit of brand recognition. So we're not just two random dudes who don't swim anymore trying to solicit interviews from Olympians, because that is what I want to do. I want to be able to interview Olympians. I want to be able to interview Olympic tier coaches. I want to be at ISL meets. I want to be at college meets. I want to be at championships of all size and breadth. And eventually my dream is to get a press pass for the Olympics, which I know is an incredibly hard thing to do, but you know, maybe, just maybe, we can do it.
I think a great like thing to do is get a network of people, and if we can build our brand high enough to where we can see those top tier Olympians following us and liking our posts and interacting with us, maybe we'll have a chance to get to interview them in the future. What are some of the who are your top three people that you would want to interview swimming wise, like past, present, future, whatever? Like what are you looking forward to
with past, present, and future?
I mean, you can pick.
Who knows going to be an Olympian in the next 4 to 8 years? But if I have to choose someone from the past that I'd love to interview, it'd probably be Gary Hall Jr. I feel like that would be an electric conversation and very interesting to see his take on swimming. For the two other people, I'd probably choose Caleb Dressel, because who wouldn't want to sit down and talk to the fastest swimmer alive? And I heard he's a pretty fun guy, and he likes to duck hunt, so that's a cool interaction we both have. And clearly, the other person I'd want to interview would be Townley Haas, because he's from Richmond. We both kind of know him from our childhood, so it kind of just makes sense that we should interview him, because he's very well renowned, he's very fast, and he's a very cool dude, so who wouldn't want to talk to him?
Yeah, Townley would be a good one to interview, especially since we both raced him before.
Back in the good old days.
Do you have any good memories from racing him?
I remember he was a pretty normal-sized human being, and then he just came back one summer for a long course meet, and all of a sudden he was like 3 inches taller than me, and that was very confusing.
Especially since you're a big guy.
Yeah, that's the most memorable thing. I was like, what happened to you? And he just kind of shrugged and was like, I don't know. But we never do.
I remember we were at one in-season meet, and we're swimming 200 back, and he doesn't normally swim backstroke. And we're next to each other, and he just destroys me. I was like, where did this come from? I was not expecting this.
Because he's 6'7".
Yeah, that was also a hard part to deal with. My little 5'11" frame could not handle that.
Not quite. And you know, with the advent of ISL and the expansion of ISL, it'd be really cool to be able to interview some people from the foreign portion of the International Swimming League. Like Sarah Solstrom would be awesome with Energy Standard, which totally isn't the name of a swim team that should exist during the Cold War. But that's besides the point.
I mean, she would be a good one to interview. She's from Sweden, right?
Yeah. And she has some of them. I think she has the most individual Olympic honors other than Michael Phelps, which is just insane.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Oh, she's
top tier, and she probably has the coolest Olympic tattoo of all the Olympic tattoos I've seen in the swimming world.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because it's the her flag was put into it on her forearm, and it looks awesome.
Oh, that's sick. Like the Swedish flag going into the rings?
Yeah, way cooler than just the rings on your bicep, tricep, pectoral, or scap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which easily
is an amazing tattoo to get within itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor to just even have the right to put that tattoo on your body.
To be a part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are my I did four instead of three. But who would be your top three? I'm assuming one of them you'd go for would be Ian Crocker.
Oh, absolutely. Having the opportunity to meet Ian when I was probably 15, maybe 14 when I met him. And, I mean, even with having my mom coach him as an age grouper when he was like 11 and 12, like I got to meet him and it was such a big presence meeting him. Like I felt like I'm meeting one of my childhood heroes here. And I mean, it was just, I was overwhelmed. I was not expecting to meet him and it was just a great feeling. He would definitely be my first person I'd want. My second one would probably be Eric Shanto. I think that would be fantastic to just meet him and talk to him about his life story and just get to interview him and get to know him.
The true level of toughness that Eric Shanto has for his battle with cancer and then continuing to be such a high-quality breaststroker, not just a swimmer, but a breaststroker, which is just unreal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And probably my last one would probably have to be Andrew Seliskar. I mean, I remember racing him at high school states one year and it in the 200 freestyle, and it was really rough, man. Like, oh, I'm pretty sure he beat me by at least 12 seconds.
He dogged me in the 100 breasts back when I was still convinced that I could be a breaststroker.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you went through the breaststroke phase.
Oh, who doesn't, though? We were neck and neck during the first 25, and then he just negative split 100 breasts where I positive split it by about 11 seconds.
Oh, that brings us back to the good old days.
Young Selly, what a guy.
Yes, Young Selly, my guy. Well, with that, I think we should take a quick intermission, and then we're going to talk about the next part, which is the big conference meets that are coming up in the future.
All right, so back from that brief intermission. Always need to take a bathroom break every now and again. That's the one part about staying hydrated that is always a bite. But without further ado, let's get into the real meat and the potatoes of what this podcast is supposed to be about, which is swimming, right? Because we've just been talking about what we want to do and Pedialyte and chocolate milk for a while. But our first topic that, if you've been following along with our Instagram, first topic we want to talk about is the ACC, better known as the Atlantic Coastal Conference. So, Jeremy, this is a very exciting conference and also a massive conference with, 12 teams on the women's side and 11 teams on the men's side. So what do you think this meet's going to turn out to? And who do you think's going to come out on top on the men and the women's side? Because, you know, on both sides, both men and women, I think this is going to be a toy guess.
Yeah, man. Like, I think it's very interesting. ACC is one of my favorite conferences to watch in swimming. And I think, like, on the women's side, I think UVA has been putting in a very good job. And they've been working hard all season long. They got some great recruits coming in or who are already there as freshmen. And let me tell you, man, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, along with, like, NC State, UNC, Louisville, Duke, Notre Dame. Like, they got some real players in there. I think it's just going to be a hard-fought battle just to even get top three. Like, in my opinion, I think UVA is going to win. But that's also – I'm a big UVA fan. But I just think their women's team this year has just been something else, completely different.
Their women's team is swimming so fast.
Yeah, they are swimming
ridiculous.
Out of their mind.
And I don't see this as just like, oh, their women's team is swimming fast, or oh, Virginia's team is swimming fast, because their men's team's taking a little bit of a beating. They got a, I think they have a couple kids sick and one kid with a broken leg, I think, but the guys who are still healthy, they've been swimming fast, and I think this is indicative of another big change coming through USA Swimming and probably swimming just in general, that everybody's going to start getting real, real fast, and it's going to be another jump up, and I don't doubt that we're going to see another big jump in time standards in the next 2 to 4 years, especially after the Olympics that is coming up. I agree with you on Virginia, because as someone whose family is from Charlottesville, I agree wholeheartedly. And I've been following along with a lot more college teams since I stopped swimming after I hurt my shoulder as well. So I've been seeing what these guys have been doing. And I think invitational midseason meets were some of the craziest things I've seen, like, in-season swimming. And it's just, the sport is changing and evolving and getting faster every day. And I'm excited that this is one of our first conferences that we get to look at, because it is such a big and deep conference, because you could have 12 teams and have only a few people on the top, but this team, Virginia, and this conference is deep throughout the entirety of their conference on both the men and women's side. So, I mean, it's very easy to say, oh, we're going to see a lot of really fast swimming, but that is beyond true for ACC women's and ACC men's, which, you know, it's a gigantic conference when you have to split it into two separate meets.
Oh, yes. Dude, you got to look at it like the ACC, it's so big. And even with 12 women's teams and 11 men's teams, like, that's a lot of teams.
That's so many teams.
Just having, like, they're one of the, they have to split their conference up just to get the meet going.
Oh, yeah.
Like, their men's team even has a lot of people on it. I think their men's team has close to – they have 11 teams. Yeah, like,
they
it's
11
just
teams?
Insane.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, and not only that, it's just, you know, that coming out of this conference, there's going to be so many top eight qualifiers to be in that A final NCAAs. Like, you know, it's just going to be a powerhouse conference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so fast and so large that I can't even begin to look at the preliminary psych sheets and try to, like, okay, so this is who's going to be doing what and who's going to be doing what all throughout, because you can look at it and, like, oh, top eight, but I don't even think we can look at top eight and be comfortable with it. I think just with this conference alone, and then throw in the rest of the Power Five, we're going to be looking at top 16 as – everybody's fighting tooth and nail just to keep in the top 16, because NCAAs this year is going to be so, 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 so fast.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's going to be so many records broken, not just ACC records, but NCAA records, like, across the country being broken at this meet.
Oh,
like, I just think it's going to be crazy.
It's not even going to be fair. And it's going to – I think not only are we going to see records broken across the board, but we're also going to see them in every event, because it's not that those events are slow records, but the ACC has just grown and gotten faster. And honestly, even though each conference within the Power Five is a slightly different like power ranking with a different size, the Power Five – sure, it became the Power Five because of football and everything. It's like, okay, these are the big five conferences to watch, but you're not going to sit here and tell me, like, oh, well, they're not good at swimming, even though they're in the top, like, 10 colleges in the country at football. It's like, they are the Power Five because they are the Power Five. They still have some of the fastest swimmers in the world in their pools right now.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And, like, just the women's side, having 12 teams is a lot. But let's take a look at the men's side. Like, the men's side is also doing very well. They, like, in my opinion, UVA has done very well this year. But NC State, man, they've been the powerhouse in that conference, I feel like, for the past couple of years now. And just looking at those two teams, UVA and NC State, I think it's going to be a duel between them. But, I mean, you also can't even count out Louisville. You can't count out Florida State. You can't count out Notre Dame. You can
never count out Louisville. And NC State is just Sprint City. Florida State is interesting because of how large their last couple of recruiting classes have been.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I think it was last year, I was watching, I can't remember what relay it was, but it was a relay, and Florida State came out of nowhere, in my opinion, and just won the relay, and I was like, oh my goodness, this was a fantastic race to watch. I can't remember what relay it was, though.
And that's an exciting thing with college swimming, because I remember when my brother was swimming in college, if a college lost their head coach or switched over to a new coach, the team would be on the down and out for almost an entire, like, four-year stretch. And now they're rebounding in, like, less than 2 years. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hear the thing with Virginia Tech, with their new coach that they've recently gotten over the past couple of years. Sergio, he's done a fantastic job with that program, in my opinion.
I've heard nothing but good things about Sergio. And he also gets the clout of having an awesome name, which definitely feeds into how good of a coach you are and how good of an athlete you are.
Oh, Sergio's top-tier name, top-tier.
Top-tier name.
Now, my biggest thing is I'm looking at the rankings right now, the current rankings on college swimming, and I think Virginia Tech has definitely the ability to move into the top three and potentially upset one of the higher-ranked teams in that conference.
Oh, 100%. I'm looking at the men's and women's rankings right now in college swimming, and I could see them easily climbing at least 3 to 4 spots, like, without breaking a sweat.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest part, though, that we have to keep in mind is that, I mean, it all depends on how well you shave and tapered. I mean, that is the name of our podcast, but it all depends on how well swimmers swim when they're shaved and tapered. Like, you can go in and you can put in all this hard work, but if you don't taper right, then you're going to have a rough meet. And we've all been there. I've been there. I don't know if you've been there, but I feel like you have. Everyone just, you've got to taper the right way.
And that's an interesting thing that keeps evolving within swimming. It's taper back when I was a little kid was like, oh, we're just not going to do anything for 2 weeks. Now it's so much more in-depth and fine-tuned. You have to throw nutrition into it. There's different ways and different methods of training that allow you to hit that peak of your taper. And it's interesting with college programs that they're still able to keep at such a high, like, cadence with their taper swims, but that goes to show that they are just, you know, top-tier colleges and top-tier programs all in all. But a lot of these swimmers have been swimming for years and years, and then they have to join their college team, and their coach has to figure out who they are and what they swim and how they swim within, what, 6 to 8 months most, if you start in the summer? Like, that's crazy, because you can try to apply a formula to everybody, but I think the true mark of an amazing coach is that you can fine-tune, taper, and training within itself, so that you're not just doing, like, okay, if everybody does that, enough people will come out on top that they'll win, which I don't think you can approach swimming like that at the collegiate level anymore.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one thing that I'm really looking forward to is, one, of course, really fast swimming. But another thing is that both meets are being held at the Greensboro Aquatic Center in North Carolina. And that pool, let me tell you, it is a fast pool. That pool is amazing. I love that pool. And just to give you guys, just to give the listeners a little information, the women's meet will be February 19th through the 22nd, and the men's meet will be on February 26th through the 29th. So I know that those meets will probably be live streamed. So I would say make sure you go and you tune in to watching ACC swimming, man, because it's something different. ACC is one of my favorite conferences, man.
It's exciting because you're guaranteed to have a lot of fast swims just because of the depth and size of these programs. And now it's not just because of how big this conference is, but every team is throwing a full roster of incredibly fast swimmers down the pipeline now. So you're guaranteed to have a lot of exciting and really fast swimming. And this is probably my favorite conference to watch. And luckily, the GAC does have a lot of great sources and good viewing platforms, so you can watch the live stream. And so that's two awesome weeks of swimming, followed up by basically incredibly fast swimming for the rest of the year until after the Olympics is done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember when we were 15 and we got to swim at the Greensboro Aquatic Center?
It was so cool. That place was like brand spanking new.
That was the first time that I think I've ever listened to music underwater while I swam.
Oh, that was trippy. I had heard rumors of underwater speakers, but actually listening to it for real was so cool.
Like, it's just so different when you're warming up for a meet and you just hear music. You just hear Lil Wayne going.
Just trying to vibe.
Just spitting bars when you're in the water warming up. Like, there's nothing, you can't beat underwater music. Like, there's really nothing better than it, in my opinion, to get yourself psyched up, ready to go, ready to race.
Oh, yeah. I remember joking with our coach that if we had an underwater speaker, I'd actually learn how to do underwaters, which I think we both know is a lie.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's just not, like, just me looking at this ACC logo, like, everything that the ACC does, in my opinion, whether it's football, basketball, swimming, soccer, like, to me, everything that the ACC does and produces, it's always top-quality athletes, top-quality ways to watch everything. And I don't know, man. Like, this is just ACC. I'm glad we picked this as our first one because it's got me feeling some type of way.
Oh, yeah, I'm pumped. And this is a great crescendo because I've always been like, ooh, it's an Olympic year. That's exciting. Get to rub it in people's faces that I'm a part of the most popular sport in the world for a couple of months. But now with everything and how much swimming has grown since we were little kids, the crescendo up to the Olympics is just a complete other level. And the ACC is really going to kick it into whatever gear you want to say that you're kicking it into. And it'll be exciting because this year is going to be so fast. The Olympics is going to be here so quickly. And I can't wait to be covering that as we are covering the ACC right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the ACC is not only – all right, I'm going to say it. The ACC, in my opinion, is the best conference for swimming.
Coming out strong on our first episode.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like, I just got to speak my feelings. And to me, just the amount of depth, we can't iterate enough on how much depth this conference has. Like, when you look at, for example, the Big 12 has three men's teams and five women's teams. Like, it just doesn't compare to how, like, when you have, let's say each men's team takes 22 and each women's team takes 25 athletes to this meet. So if you take 12 women's teams times 25, that's a lot of people on a pool deck.
That is an, like, that's a lot of absurd amount of people. And then you also have to remember that divers are not technically viewed as a whole person in the eyes of the NCAA. So not only are there that many people already, but there also are three divers at minimum. So you got to add that into the count.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, I mean, I remember last year watching ACC's Ted Schubert got disqualified in his 400 IM. And, I mean, I really felt for him. But then just watching his time trial – that time trial was the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed.
Oh, I've never been
all by himself and blew it out of the pool.
I've never been huge on for time trials as a distance swimmer, but seeing that was like, okay, this is going to be awesome. And then seeing him do it by himself and going that time, it proves that it's something inside you that lets you get to this point.
Oh, absolutely. And the best part to me, like, yes, watching him swim was fantastic, but also watching his teammates rally and just go crazy for him on the deck while he's swimming that.
Is everybody losing their minds?
There's nothing like that in college swimming.
Oh, no, not at all. So I think the other conference that I want to talk about today is the Big 12, which if we're going to really shift gears, we can look at the Big 12, which I believe is the smallest conference that we have covered so far, which fitting that we also covered the biggest of the Power 12 today. I mean Power 5 today, which is ironic because we are going from the largest to the smallest, but you know, just because it's small does not mean that it is not ridiculously fast, because I don't think anybody in their right mind can say that it is not ridiculously fast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For me, the Big 12 is like, it is a very fast conference, especially with the likes of Texas being in there. Texas, we all know, being national champions multiple times. And yeah, even Townley Haas swimming there, winning NCAAs, I think, a couple times. Like, it's just a great atmosphere to just watch the Big 12, even though it's a very small amount of teams. But just watching Texas and West Virginia and Iowa State and Kansas on the women's side, and TCU. I mean, you can't even count TCU out of this. TCU has had a great program down there.
TCU's program has had a lot of ups and downs. One of my best friends was coaching for them a couple years back as they were growing and redeveloping, and I think they can really help grow into something really strong in the next couple of years. And it also helps that since they are a Christian university, they got hellacious amounts of money. I just pulled up the 2019 results for the Big 12, and just the front page for the men's swim just shows how big of a powerhouse Texas is, because they won on the men's side 26 gold medals, 16 silver medals, and 10 bronze medals, which is just ridiculous.
That's unheard of in college swimming.
Oh yeah, no conference has one team that just dominates everything.
Yeah, every single year the Texas men's team is just they are something else, and I think watching them and Cal this year at NCAA is just going to be fantastic again. Watching it last year was amazing.
It's like the clash of the Titans.
Now, I will say on both sides, Texas did lose some great seniors, but they did get some great freshmen coming in as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at the top swimmers, and was Daniel Kruger, did he graduate? Because he won 3 golds, which is just insane.
No, I think Daniel Kruger is still there. I'm not sure, though. Let me check.
Honestly, not sure. And it says Arizona State versus Texas on January 31st, 2020, so I guess he's still in it, so that's good.
Yeah.
Francis Haas, no longer a part of Texas since he graduated, because unlike us, he was able to graduate on time. Proud of you, Townley.
I mean, watching Texas, not only their men's team, but their women's team too. Like, their women's team, I think, was also I think they also won the meet.
Oh, yeah.
They had 23 gold medals, 15 silver, and 9 bronze. Like,
and then
it's just hard to compete with Texas in that conference.
And then the power rankings of their top 5 swimmers, all top 5 swimmers on the women's side from this conference were on the women's side, which is just – that's crazier than the men, because David Zichten had been coming in hot with his amazing swims. So it was only 4 Texas men. But, man, 5 Texas women are the top 5. That's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, that's just like, there's no level of domination like that in swimming nowadays. Now, I will say I was at West Virginia's invite in the fall, and they are just, that was just insane to watch David Dixon swim that 200 fly. I'm pretty sure he did a personal best. I'm pulling up his time right now. Yeah, he went a 141.5. That is flying in the 2 fly. Like,
that is ridiculous.
I think that is he's going to be a force to be reckoned with going into NCAAs and this conference meet. I think David Dixon, we should put a star by. He has done some great things for that program, along with the other swimmers in that program. But watching David Dixon swim that two fly at that invite meet, it's a mid-season meet.
Oh, it's like, a mid-season meet, and there's no way that they did a full taper. So that just is frightening to think of how fast it is going to be at the actual conference. Do you know when that conference is? The official dates?
Let me get that going right now.
Because last year was in Texas, and I think this year it's at West Virginia's campus, right?
Yeah, it's at West Virginia's new pool. That pool is something special. That pool is a very nice pool. It was very well made. Looks very clean across everything. It is February 26th through the 29th in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Awesome.
I think that's the same weekend as a men's.
That is the most ACC's. Common. Those three-ish days of swimming are going to be so fast because I believe in our conference countdown that I think six different conferences are swimming on that weekend.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
So I'm going to be like a crazy man trying to bounce between college swimming and live results on Meet Mobile, being like, who's winning, who's winning, who's winning.
Oh, yeah. And even comparing the times and looking at how everyone's doing across the board. That weekend, I think I'm just going to go through on Meet Mobile and just star everyone just so I keep getting the updates on my phone.
And constantly. I wish you could get a notification every time that an event is done. You probably can. I just have never looked at it in depth enough. I don't even know what event I'm the most excited for, if I'm going to be completely honest.
For the Big 12 meet?
Yeah. I mean, because in reality.
Mine's probably the Two Fly.
Two Free, I'm very excited for.
Two Free is always a good one.
Two Free is arguably the best race of all time.
I mean, I didn't like the Two Free when I swam, but I will say, like, it gets you six, top six people go to the Olympics at the trials.
That's what's so exciting about it.
Yeah, I mean, instead of top two, it's top six. You get four extra spots to try and make the team.
That's absurd. And I'm looking at just the 2019-2020 like preliminary stuff on college swimming for the University of Texas in the 200 freestyle. And so they have two people with A cuts, which that's just ridiculous. A 130.8 and a 131.9. That's that hurts my heart. And then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 B cuts. And then an eighth person on the cusp, two people on the cusp of getting B cut. So
that's insane.
So are we just saying that the top people outside of A cuts is just going to be the majority of Texas's men's team? That's just terrifying.
I mean, that is a sight to see, man. Like, I mean, you can't even, I completely forgot that Maxime Rooney transferred from Florida.
Oh,
he transferred from Florida
right.
to Texas.
I completely forgot about that.
That's
unreal. So that's faster.
Yeah. Like, Maxime Rooney is seated right now with the 131.9. He's second in the conference. That's just so fast, especially coming in as a transfer.
That's crazy. I'm looking at what meet. I forgot what the name of their midseason meet was. It was the Minnesota Invitational. And that's just to be on deck for that swim meet would be awesome. Because we got Texas, Michigan, Cal, Arizona, Iowa, Minnesota, Harvard, and Nebraska. That's so cool.
Oh, my goodness.
That's an awesome meet. That's like a Demi NCAAs.
Oh, I'm looking at their two fly right now. This is why it's the event that I'm looking forward to the most. They have the top five people are all under 143s.
Whew.
Top guy in the conference is Sam Pojembic, and he's 139.3 in the two fly A cut.
That hurts my heart.
That is just – that's so fast.
I can't even comprehend going that fast in butterfly.
Neither can I.
Or basically anything.
Probably 100 free. I could do that in 100 free. Probably right now, honestly. I haven't swam in 3 years.
100 free?
4 years.
Let's not oversell ourselves now, Jeremy.
I mean – I'm just really looking forward to Big 12 as well. They are a great conference. They are very tough all across the board. West Virginia, TCU, Texas on the men's side. Women's side, you got throw in Kansas and Iowa State. Man, they are a tough conference. Also, a lot of top eight qualifiers coming out of this conference for NCAAs.
Oh, for sure. No argument about it. And the craziest thing is we're talking about how fast this conference is right now, and we haven't even talked about the Pac-12 or the rest of the Power Five.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that, in my opinion, I think Texas is going to win this meet across the board. That's just my closing thoughts on this. And I think that it's just very, it's going to be a very exciting meet to watch. And, but I just think Texas is just going to steamroll again.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I think that's all we got time for today. Thank you for everybody who took the time to stop in and be a part of our first episode. I know it wasn't perfect, but I think we did a pretty good job, and we're going to continue to learn and grow. And just like swimming, we have to dedicate our time to this, and we got to keep working hard because a lot of us aren't blessed to just have things handed to us, and I'm more than happy to put in the work. So I just want to say thank you again for joining us and taking the time to listen. And we'll
make sure to follow us on or check us out or follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. On Instagram, we're at Shaved and Tapered. On Twitter, we are at Shaved Tapered. Our name would be too long to fit in the Twitter characters. Classic. And on Facebook, just follow us and like our page, Shaved and Tapered.
All right, guys. So as always, let's just keep on boogieing.